Hello, bonjour. Name Joseph Dishnakaz, Makoba Jage, Dishnakaza, Gnogamin Donjim Nishnabik, Ninama, Makwadodam. My name is Joseph Dorr. I come from the Bear Clan. I am from the Anishinaabeg Nation in Northern Ontario. I am from the Bear Clan. I came to Winnipeg just to meet other folks, Native Indigenous people, and allies to we'll strategize and build towards building a plan to protect the land, the waters, the animals, for our survival, not only as for the Anishinaabe Nation and other Native nations, but for the world, because we have lots to teach and to share.
Can you tell us a little bit about the main struggles and issues that your community is facing?
Well, in my community and in the nation, we have mineral and mining concerns, deforestation issues. The forestry industry has come there and started up mills and pulp mills, and they basically, when they're done, they leave, and they leave our communities empty-handed. We also have issues of power generation, damming our waterways. Which disturbs the fish, the spawning, and basically the flow of life stops.
You spoke about leaving the community and then coming back and seeing people that you had been in school with. Do you want to speak a little bit about that and share that part of your experience?
A lot of our communities, they rely on economic development, forestry. And it seems like everything is focused on economic development and how we're going to make money, and the focus should be more on healing ourselves first, looking at our own backyard. The issues are there, the health concerns are there, an epidemic is happening, and in our communities now was first drugs and alcohol. Alcohol was a big factor back in the 60s, 70s, 80s. And come in the 70s, there was, weed and hashish use. Then in the late 80s, 90s became pill abuse, prescription drug abuse, which and evolved into, the use of Percocets, Oxycontins. The young people are doing it. The middle-aged folks are doing it. And people know it's a problem, but it's not addressed. And the methadone program that's going on back home, people are on it. It works for some people, but when do they come off it? Because I have family members who've been on this methadone program since like 6 years ago, or since it first started, and they're still on it. And it hurts to see my friends that I grew up with suffer from addiction, from pill addiction. And we were happy children. Growing up, going to daycare and hope for life. And it was the old people that kept us that way. And we relied on our leadership to protect us, to keep us safe. And that's how the young people, the babies, are looking at us to do, to keep them safe. So we have to address those underlying issues the colonization has done on our people. Address on the intergenerational effects of residential schools and how that systematically affected us. And we are a product, a seven generation product of that col that genocidal plan that the government of Canada has put us through. And prior to me being 18, I didn't know nothing about residential school. It wasn't spoken about. All I knew that I was a native. I was Ojibwe. I had some ceremonies. There was a language, but no one spoke of those dark issues. There's many types of abuse that goes on, physical, emotion, spiritual, sexual abuse that happens. And those are the key issues that us as individuals and us as families and us as communities need to address and begin to heal, because we don't want to pass that on to the next generation that we're here to protect. I want my children and my nephews and my nieces and my cousins and my second cousins, the babies that are here, I want them to grow up in a safe community, in a safe family, in a safe, striving and strong young people. And it is happening today. The good side of all the issues that we're dealing with is that the young people today are more open, they're more accepting. They face the challenge of living in both worlds, our traditional world and our native world, or our native traditional world and the white world, or the modern world. And it was nice to go home to witness that, the encouragement that they have amongst each other. And I've been on trips with them that, someone couldn't do anything or couldn't do what the rest of the group was doing. There was encouragement there. Oh, that's good. You tried. That's awesome. And that brought tears to my eyes because in my generation, there's a lot of teasing and bullying and, like, oh, you can't do it, and laughing at you, and which caused an effect of, a lot of issues that happens with that bullying. And those are the plus things that I see in my community.
You talked about how your community doesn't need money, it doesn't need gold, and you can't make the things you really need from those things. Could you just maybe draw that out a bit? What did you mean when you said with gold we can't do the things that we need to do?
We're rich people. Money was brought to us by foreign governments. And what I said about the gold, because my community is looking into gold extraction and the exploration of our gold on our traditional reserve land. And I said gold causes a lot of dangers. There's a lot of environmental impacts, health impacts. It'll even build on the pill abuse that we have now and the addictions that we have now. It'll fuel it even more because the money buys more drugs and more problems comes. People coming in from out of town bringing their garbage, the adding more to what we have to deal with. And the environmental impacts, the traditional medicines. A lot of our people who are in those positions that make decisions, forget about where we came from. They forget about the trap lines. They forget about how their parents lived. They forget about how our ancestors lived. What our main responsibility is to is we were keepers of the land. We honored the land and everything that it's given us. And they want to sell it out for a lousy piece of gold. And this has happened before. It's history repeating itself. The gold rush. Look what all the issues that brought to the Yukon and other areas that they had gold. We had gold in our community before, but all those people, they left us high and dry, just like the forest industry, leaving us with the problems, leaving us with the issues, the poverty issues. Money is nothing. We can't eat money. We can't have ceremony with gold. Gold belongs in the ground. It has its purpose in Mother Earth. Same with the oil, same with the water, same with everything that we have has a purpose, a unique purpose, and it can't be bought. And we have sacred items that are made by the trees, by the skins of animals, by the animals itself, like the turtle made for rattles. The sweet grass that we smudge with, the sage, the cedar that we use in homes and ceremony. Our lodges are made of the natural world. The grandfathers, the grandmothers who come into our ceremonies are the stones from Mother Earth. They've been here the longest. They're the wise ones, they're the wise beings. And as a Bear Clan member, I have to speak on behalf of the next generation. It's my inherent responsibility to speak on the natural world. Because my brothers and sisters are not only human. My brothers and sisters are those four-legged bears that are standing out there that have no choice to drink that water, that have no choice to eat whatever they can find. They don't know it's polluted. You can't put a sign there and say, "Bears, please do not eat this. It's poison." It's me as a Bear Clan member, as a two-legged person, is to speak up for them because you know what? They can't speak up for themselves. And same with the moose and the eagles and all the animal worlds and all the fish world, all the water beings and the spirit, the trees. Everything has a spirit. We all come from one spiritual source. We all come from the Creator. And that's our communities where, because the Christianized belief says that, man has power over the earth. God has power over the earth. And that the trees and the waters and all the other beings don't have a spirit, they're just matters. And that was a scripture that I was a born again Christian at one time, and I took the goodness of it. But they said, "No, your dog has no spirit. Your dog can't be saved because he has no spirit." You know what? That dog has a spirit because, that dog listened to all my deepest, hardest stuff that I was dealing with, and he helped me. He shed tears for me. He sat there and looked at me with those little beady eyes and just looked and let me cry. He sat there and listened to me. He didn't take off and run somewhere, and said, "Oh, whatever, deal with your own shit." Pardon my French. But that's, that our natural world needs to have a voice, and we are that voice. We have that inherent responsibility to protect the natural world and also to protect our communities and our families and the future children. Because an elder has taught me that we have to speak for the ancestors now, yesterday, and coming. When we pray to the ancestors and when we offer our tobacco and we say, "Grandfathers, grandmothers, ancestors, we pray for you." We're praying for the ones that were on this physical world before us, the ancestors alive today, and the ancestors yet to come.
Yesterday, after you shared, or while you were sharing, you also heard people share their struggles and their stories. And over the last 2 days, we've heard from Labrador all the way to the coast. And I'm wondering if you could share with us your feelings and your thoughts as you hear others share their stories and their struggles about defending the land and some of the other issues that have come up.
Well, I hear a lot of grassroots people like me, who we all share a common struggle. It's the land. It's our livelihood as Indigenous people to have a land base. It's our survival. It's our culture. It's everything. And the water is the next thing that's going to be sold, like the oil. And our water is turning into poison because of all the chemicals and everything, a lot of the sicknesses that are happening, the cancers, we're going to be dealing with a lot more than diabetes, a lot more than TB. There'll be people, there's an epidemic happening because of the chemicals and the pollution. And struggle between leaderships, eh, is another, like you have one side of leadership saying, "Yeah, we support you," and you have the other side saying, "No, we don't support that." That's a struggle. And that's by our own people too, across Canada, no matter what nation we're from. Then we have proactive leadership who are all for it. And that's the government's plan, is to divide us and conquer us. Give us this chief and council system to divide us as families, divide us as communities. But you know what we should do is use that system and work against the government. Use what they've and put down our throat to friggin' fight back. And I've said that before. I've said that many times. Use what they gave us and throw it back at them. There's laws, there's supreme laws, all these things in the courts. I don't know, but I'm still young. I got many miles to walk on my journey.
Is there anything else you want to talk about?
Well, this one woman reminded me of my grandmother, and when my grandmother used to take me on the land, there's the safest place to be. Those are my happiest times. There's no stress. It felt like I owned that place. It was my home in the middle of nowhere. I didn't even know there was a city south of me. I thought we were the only people in the whole wide world. And it was peaceful. And that's why I do this work, because my trapline is getting clear-cutted right now. Gutted. My childhood is getting destroyed because of that. Because when I go back there, it's not going to be the same. And that's why I continue this work and build alliances and meet new friends and go back to my community, maybe wake up my people and try to get us all on the same page. And we're not doing it just for us. It's for the whole world, really. Because we have one Mother Earth. We can't live anywhere else. We can't live on Mars, we can't live on Jupiter, we can't live on any other planets but here. You know, this is the only place that us as humans, us as two-legged, us as four-legged can live on. And once she is gone, we can't reverse it. It's gonna be done. So the time is now that we all come together as all nations of the world. The red nation, the white nation, the black nation, the yellow nation, and all the nations in between, you know, to come together in unity for Mother Earth because it's all our mother. Throw the politics out the window, throw the differences out, but find commonalities, common ground. And that's what I always talk about in since being in this movement, is that we all have to come together, get let go of our differences because Mother Earth needs us.